Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Out to move, come out there.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. Today, we're going to keep it kind of open. Open mic if any guys things that you guys want to talk about. Or we can knock off early. But, however, what I've got for us right now is titled Water Bill Solutions. Water Bill Solutions. If you have a high water bill, need some solutions on how to pay it, maybe the water's been shut off, how to get water restored to your place. That's what we'll be talking about. There's not a whole lot to it. We're going to do some webinars on this topic that'll go into detail and offline workshops on this because it's more of a show-and-tell type thing. And, this, of course, here on Blog Talk is just audio. So 619-768-2945 is the question. I mean, excuse me, not the question. The call-in number. And the question of the day, is when it comes to water, are you a buyer or seller? That's coming from, we're doing a takeoff on because this is the key to these high water bills if a person has a high water bill. When it comes to water, are you a buyer or a seller? And it'll make more sense if it doesn't make any sense when we come back right after this.
Brother, break bread with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake.
Some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go.
Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos? DVDs? CDs? Masterpiece? Charles Angel?
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least three. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P, look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money. Right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm going to get my own business. Change the game.
All right. Well, the question today, and the question that this guy asking, baby boy, are you a buyer or seller, is so fundamental that you apply to many things. So about a week or so ago, I got an income property where I got a phone call. It's out of town. It's out of state from where I'm at. That there was an outstanding water bill for a little over $6,000. And wait a minute. Something fell over. Let me continue this story in a minute. I'm going to replay this baby boy again.
Brother, break bread with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And we...
Some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life. For I am the master of my abilities. And today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos? DVDs? CDs? Masterpiece? Charles Angel?
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh?
I count at least three.
Man, what the fuck are you talking about?
P, look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there.
Everybody moving, making money, right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. and all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are biased. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm going to get my own business. Change the game.
Okay. I just had took I was checking on something else. I got a call back that ties into what we're talking about today. So give me a couple more minutes, and then I'll get into water bill solutions.
Be sure to check out my new book, Micro Shelters, through Amazon.com and elsewhere. And coming up, Tiny House Summer Camp 3. So many guest speakers, demos, and more live building that we can't even fit it on this flyer right here. RelaxShacks.com for the details. RelaxShacks.com here in Newberry, Massachusetts. Beautiful day out. I'm probably looking twice as white as I normally am in the glaring sun here. Casper the Ghost, your host. But we are here with Vera Strzok from SilverBulletTinyHouse.com. She's been so gracious as to have us over to her house and for lunch. Thank you very much. And we are psyched to be here. Tell us a little bit about the backstory of your tiny house quickly and semi-succinctly.
Well, actually, I was at one of your workshops back in 2012, and I thought it would be great to have a classroom module kind of exhibit to go around and help people learn more about sustainable lifestyle living. And so what I did was I decided to build one. It took me 2 years. 2 years! Because we had two really bad winters. But also, I decided to construct it alone, basically alone. I had a few people for a couple of walls, but I know nothing about construction, and I had to raise all the money for this particular project. So we're going to go on the road soon. Would you like to come and see?
Can I ask? I know it's not usually polite to ask, but Farrah, how old are you? Can you say?
Yeah, I'm 65.
You can lie.
I'm 65.
No, I just think that's so kick-ass.
A lot of people to be 66.
A lot of people out there, you know, they're like, you know, they're getting tired out when they're 18 and 19 building this, and you're 65 and built a tiny house pretty much by yourself. So
yeah, and I'm
they can't
disabled.
See it, but I'm saluting you right now.
Thank you.
I think that's incredible. I'm going to bring drop back here for a second just to give you kind of the overview here. But why don't we talk about just kind of the entrance here quickly before we move inside? Tell me what you got going on.
Okay,
your
well,
thoughts.
This is an 18-foot trailer upon which I built a tiny house. This is a 2-foot deck, which I intend to extend down when I park it eventually. Up there, you'll see the sleeping loft. It has two pet windows there.
The alien
eyes.
I
got that from Peak, you, yourself.
Pet Peak is the company that makes those. They're fantastic, yeah.
And here we have double doors from Habitat that I refinished, and there's a second means of egress as well. So I sit out here and I meditate. I do my little Buddhist Taoist thing. And occasionally I'll have my coffee out of my BioLite while I'm charging my phone.
Yeah, these things are fantastic. Just a little cameo shot. Man, the sun is bright today. You can actually hear the back of my neck cooking. That bacon smell, that's me, Norwegian Deke. Yeah, let's head inside real quick.
Okay, great.
A, we'll be out of the sun. B, your place is super funky. I want people to be able to check it out. I've already gotten a tour. So why don't you go ahead of me? And here we go. This place is fantastic. So where do you want to start?
Well, why don't I just close the drapes over here so that the sun doesn't come in. This is the second door, so I have another means of coming into the classroom exhibit. So here you have my tiny house. It's got some designer chairs here, which eventually I'll take a nice little cut out of the back and make them bookshelf-like things. This is a table that comes down from the wall. You have my couch is an ottoman, which actually used to be for a huge chair. And then next to it are these stackable little stools that could be tables.
Yeah, simple.
Artwork on top there.
Simple and clever. Vera is quite an accomplished artist, by the way, and you're going to see some of your work in other parts of the tiny house, right? I believe I saw a painting up in the loft. We'll get to that.
You've got two fabulous.
Okay. I had to take care of some. Talking about water bill solutions, the solution came right after we start the podcast. Anyway, today we're talking about Water Vessel Loose. Anyway, let me get back to what I was talking about before I take that call. Or even before I took that call, I heard something fall, but looked around and didn't see anything. Had a $6,000 water bill. And the thing is, I had been paying on it, but it was a miscommunication, so it wasn't the full amount. This is, I won't even, it's a major city. You know, this pandemic just threw things off. Anyway, so I called in, and it was a deadline to pay this thing off by this past Monday. Okay, I found out last Thursday. And then last Friday, this particular municipal water company was closed due to, you know, Good Friday. So I had to pay by Monday. Didn't know I was going to have to do it. So anyway, and it was Thursday, like I said, the office, I couldn't think about it and then call back last Friday. So what I did was, okay, I'll talk about Faith Street, negotiated a payment plan with the municipal water company in this case. And I needed the monthly payment was good, but the down payment I didn't have. At least I didn't have all of it. So anyway, things worked out through social capital that I was able, through social capital, get that down payment paid over the weekend, last weekend, before this coming Monday passed, showed up. So then, as per their instructions, they said, call back on Monday morning after you've paid. Well, since we paid, Saturday, I called them Monday as per instructed, and then they had a record of it, and everything's all straight. Now, before I came up with that social capital, was able to act on this social capital for the down payment, I was thinking, because this is on a rental property, I was thinking, man, okay, what could I do to supply water to these people if they're shut off from municipal water? And I already had some solutions. Now, number one, in this particular located city, you can't drill for a well. And to drill for a well, you're going to need about the same amount of money for this bill. Actually, it's probably cheaper to, but you can't drill for a well in this. This is a really densely populated city. So then I thought, maybe I can put a water tower there. All right, I can put a place right up on the roof. Nobody would see it. Or a water pillow. And I call these things water assets. But then I would need a green plumber. And I don't know any green plumbers there. And what is a green plumber? Some of you probably have never heard of the term green plumber. A green plumber basically works with alternative ways of supplying water or running water to a home that doesn't tap into the municipal grid water system. So I don't know, green water. I mean, then I would have to train a person, and I didn't have quite the time to fly out and do all that. And then I thought, you know what? Well, maybe I can always call a Culligan man. Now that will, and I can probably buy water cheaper from the Culligan man than I could it's cheaper to pay for that in this case than the municipality. Because essentially, if you're getting municipal water, if you're paying a water bill every month, you're running water. So I said, well, these people are on the grid, And although, all right, it'll be cool, I can have water delivered for their drinking, their cooking, but, you know, the hookup for the water, I would have to train them on that. They're not used to that. And that's something that you need to introduce people to or train them to it before you even get involved with them on a business level. So in any event, things worked out with that payment plan. But then I thought, you know what, maybe I can, you know, go on the road with this one, do webinars and hands-on workshops on water bill solutions. Great for landlords, great for tenants, great for anybody who wants to start paying for municipal water. Because, once again, if you're on municipal water, you're renting water. So that brings us back to the question of the day. When it comes to water, are you a seller or are you a buyer? With this particular building, you know, once I get the, now we're in good standing now on this particular property, good standing with the water company. But once the back payment of water is, the bill is paid off, then I'm going to take the money that I would have paid and put an independent water system on this house. It's got a pretty big roof, so we can harness water, and then I'll probably have to fly in and then train somebody on green plumbing so that we'll have our own independent water source that does not tap into the city system at all. And they can have running water. They can do everything they do with municipal water, and it'll be running water, except it's not coming from the municipality. And, you know, there, and that one of the reasons why we're going to be doing webinars, so you can see this stuff, and then doing offline stuff, so you can actually participate in setting up your own independent water system. And for landlords, or it can be just for individual homeowners, even if you're a renter, maybe you can say, look, landlord, can you give me a break? If, particularly if you live in a unit that everything's included, maybe a landlord might give you a break. If you know it, landlord, I don't want to use your water. I got my own system. I got my own system. So that's some of the, and that comes under, so, and then even how to make money with it. All right, so we'll be talking about, I mean, in these webinars and all, how to get rid of municipal water, how to stop taking that, because if you take municipal water, you're renting water. Then we'll introduce you to various water assets that are in plain sight that you probably have ignored, like in this particular building I'm talking about. If you're a landlord, you know, we'll have strategies for you also, because essentially the local municipal water company, when they supply water to you, they're basically selling your water back to you. So we'll, and the whole procedure of that is, you know, on a typical roof, over 41,000 liters of water hits a roof on a normal rainfall throughout the year. 41,000 liters. However, if your building is not set up to harvest rainwater, then that rainwater converts into what they call storm water, hits the pavement, hits the, you know, the sewers. The sewer network goes back to, you know, the city sewage and treatment plant. Then they take the water that ran off of your roof, clean it up, and pipe it back to you. And then, you know, you're paying them to do all that. But originally, it's your water. It hit your roof first. So we're going to show you how to cut out the middleman. And, you know, whether you're in a major city, because like last month, the water bill on this one particular piece of property was $80, which I consider outrageous. Now, where I'm at right now, which is in another state, in another house, but I'm off the grid here. I have a well with a reverse osmosis filtering system that gives me bottled fresh drinking water around the clock. My water bill here, as a matter of fact, there's been no water bill at this particular house for over 25 years. Cut out the middleman. We'll go through strategies of, you know, what do you do when the water's shut off? Just a quick fix off the top of my head. Get in the Yellow Pages, get online, call the local Culligan man or whoever delivers water in your neck of the woods. And most of them really, you know, particularly if you pay like $100 up front, you're good to go. You know. Now, you're going to have to be cautious on how you use that water. But we'll even do demonstrations on how to conserve water, including for bathing and bathroom use and all this, that, and other. We'll have a landlord section, you know, how landlords can benefit from this. And then the type of homes that we're in the process of building is based on many, not all, but a significant amount of homes in the Amish community and the Mennonite community here in the United States. They have no grid plumbing. Some do, but a significant amount of them don't. They don't have grid plumbing. And they probably use more water than the average household, but they don't have grid plumbing. And what I call plumbing in primarily Africa, but it's global. So the houses that we're dealing with, that we actually teach people how to build, it's off-grid plumbing. So you don't tap into the municipal water system at all. And it really brings down your cost of living. So once again, going back to that question, when it comes to water, are you a buyer or a seller? Most people, when it comes to water, they're buyers. Now we're not talking about you're hot and thirsty, you stop by 7-Eleven and buy you a bottle of Fiji water or something like that. No, we're talking about, you know, when you, in the morning, you wash your face, you shower and all that, you flush your toilet. Typically, that's coming from the local municipality. You're renting their water. They send you a bill. You don't send a bill, they'll shut you off. You don't, and if you don't pay it after they shut you off, then they're going to auction your, they're going to put a lien against your house, and then they're going to sell your house for the back due water bill plus interest penalties and all this other bad and other. So, like I said, I took that situation. I was fortunate enough, like I say, the water was never interrupted. We got a payment plan that I can deal with, and I've even already paid, got the money set aside, escrow's ready up, where, and the bill hasn't even come yet. The new bill hasn't even come yet. So I'm glad I was able to turn that around. But there's a lot of people, and I'm looking at it, not 2 years of pandemic, man. And the pandemic, I guess, in this country is, for all practical purposes, over. So there's going to be a lot of people with water bill problems, you know, foreclosure or eviction problems, something like that, the challenges. So hopefully we can ramp it up to about 100 offline workshops per month doing this. That's this weekend. I'm seeing how, working on the logistics on how we can organize that, along with webinars. So, now what am I? I'm a consumer of water when I might be traveling, you know, at an airport, train station, bus. I might buy a bottle of Fiji water. On a day-to-day basis, I don't pay for any water, and I got plenty of water. Now, the call I got earlier in the podcast, I called the company that one of the products that I'll be selling are water bricks. Water bricks. And you can store water in these containers. So I'm partnering up with them, and we'll be selling those. So I've just stepped over into, because lately we talked about, are you a maker, seller, or buyer? Well, I'm transitioning to the maker and seller side of water. And like I say, the only time, you know what, to tell the truth, when I travel from here on out, I think I'm going to just carry my own water. I'm not going to be buying. You know what? I'm going to come up with my own label. Because I got the tap here to do that. I produce bottled quality water for myself already. So I'm going to come up with my own label this weekend. And when I travel, I'm carrying my own water with me. I'm not going to be buying no Perrier or no Fiji or Dasani or none of that. I'm going all the way with it, and I suggest you do it too. We'll have more on this. I just wanted to throw that out there because we'll be announcing the webinar dates and all that stuff this coming Monday. Okay, we have 410 area code. Your mic is open. Open mic, anything you want to talk about?
No, I want to talk about what's on your subject and whatever else you discussed, but you asked, was I a buyer or seller of water?
Right.
I'm old enough to have lived on and off the grid. Where I was raised, we had our own well.
Mm-hmm.
We had outdoor toilets. My grandmother raised all of her food except sugar. She had to buy her sugar.
Okay.
But we had a mill in the area she'd raise where she'd go and buy her flour. But she raised her corn, so we ate cornbread. But And then when I moved with my parents, because I was raised partially with my grandmother, They had their own well. Later on, we had indoor-outdoor plumbing. But we had an electric pump, so I guess you could say we were buying then. But the thing is, everything was into your light bill. Then when I moved off myself, I had the same system that my parents had. I had a electric pump. I had a septic tank. But, with my grandmother, we heated by wood. We cut our own wood. So with the exception of her buying flour and sugar, everything else was in-house. When I moved with my parents, well, my father built a store. So the thing is, I guess you could call us a buyer, but we never paid a water bill, a sewage bill, but we did pay electric utility bill.
Okay.
When I built the house, because my wife pissed me off, well, I had my own place before I got married, but my wife pissed me off. She wanted a brand new house, so I built a house. Again, I had a well. I had a septic sewer system. I had a water purification system where my well water went into the water purification system, and I didn't have anything but a utility bill. So I went on and off.
And that's major right there, not having a utility bill.
Well, I had a utility bill in each one. Well, with my grandmother, no utility bill. With my parents and with me living by myself and then getting married, I had only a utility bill. That's all I had.
Got it.
Because everything else, you know, my living spaces were self-contained until I moved to Maryland. Then I had a water bill, sewage bill, light bill, utility, electric bill, and all of that stuff. But other than that, I've been on and off the grid.
Well, I'm sure you agree that off the grid is probably better.
Well, when I was living with my grandmother, we never had to depend on anybody for anything.
Right.
She raised everything that what meats we ate. She had the hogs. She had the chickens. She had the gardens. And plus, she had her own well. We heated by wood. So with that being the case, we were more or less independent, because if there was something we didn't like, and look, everything was done on the farm or either in commercial fishing. So if she didn't want to work, she didn't have to work because she didn't have any bills, because she built her own house.
Right.
Everybody in our community was building their own house. What happened is when you got your wood, your lumber, you'd have a neighborhood community party. And what would happen is, once you got your wood, all the men and women in the community would get together on that project and build a house. So when she moved in her house, it was already paid for, you know. So that's
See,
the
that,
way she
I
did.
I wish we would, people can get on into that type of thing. I mean, the Amish Mennonite do that already, and Black folks used to do that. But they lived in rural areas though.
Exactly.
Your wife, did she grow up on the grid in the city?
Originally she did, but then at a young age, she moved to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, her mother did the same thing. You know, she raised the livestock, they had a garden, and everybody did field work then. So she was familiar with living off the grid, yes, on and off the grid.
Now, of course, some people that were off the grid in rural areas, they didn't want anything to do with rural areas. They wanted to move into the city. Not all, but I mean, some, quite a few. I mean, I guess during the Great Migration, although during the Great Migration, the first Great Migration, part of that moving was to get away from lynching or, you know, racial terrorism. But I've run across people that have left, that have walked away from acres of land because they like the comfort and conveniences of city life, so to speak.
Well, they don't have the knowledge that you're sharing. They got away from that because they didn't know what they had. They don't know what they have now. So with that being the case, a lot of people, because of the conveniences, don't know that they can actually go in and live better with the land that their grandparents and parents have left.
Right.
Because where I lived at, when I built the house that my wife wanted, because I told her to go in a book, get what you want, and I'll build it, because I got tired fussing with her.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is I bought a 2.5 acre lot, and it was just enough yard. It was in the middle of a wooded area, just enough yard to mow in and have a yard. Okay. And the thing is, I had my own well. I had my own sewer system. The thing is, the only thing I didn't have, she wanted electricity, which today, if I was doing it all over again, I'd get solar panels.
Okay.
But the thing is, that's the only thing I paid to keep that house functioning. So with that being the case, if people know better, they can do better. But, yeah, some people, once they go to the cities, well, the people that's raised in the city don't know because they've never been exposed to anything like that. But I've noticed whenever my cousins used to come from the city and live with us, it was hard getting them back to the city, even with the primitive way we were living. My grandmother always had electric lamps back in the day when it was small. But they didn't want to go back because they had a large area to play in. They had the yards and everything else. And basically they could run and do what the heck they wanted to do. Even with the primitive living that I thought we were living in, they enjoyed it. But the thing is, if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, you're right. If you don't know, you don't know. And,
no, until you're exposed to it. See,
some
Brother
people,
L.A. No, go ahead.
No, well, no, a friend of mine, she's 35, 36. Now, she was originally born in Jamaica, but I guess she grew up here in the United States. She makes very good money. She's renting a room. And I'm telling her, you know, well, she works 10 miles away. She lives 10 miles away from her job. So she doesn't really want to venture too much out further than that. Because I'm telling her, I say, you know, the further out you get away, and this is up in the, DMV, the D.C. area, you know, those prices, you know, drop. But she's looking for something that is, you know, as closest to job as she can get. So, as I'm looking at, yeah, like I say, I'd rather travel 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever I got to do to get away from that grid as much as possible. But that's just me. I wouldn't have been talking about, 20 years ago, I wasn't talking like this. But, you know, it took, you know, little steps at a time, being exposed to stuff that, you know, I changed my thinking and lifestyle. So.
You don't know unless you're exposed to something. And that's one of the things that really hampers black folk. I lived in Baltimore, and the people that I knew on the east side, some of them had never been outside of that block where they lived.
Oh, yeah, they haven't been to the west side and vice versa.
No. That's right. So my thing is this year, they never, and look, as far as being exposed out in the rural area, some of them didn't even know that there was a rural area outside of Baltimore.
Yes, yeah, so they haven't been to Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County. They haven't been to those places.
Yeah, and out on, I guess you're familiar with it. I guess it was Interstate 5, out by Crofton and all those places.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, it was just between Baltimore and Prince George's County. You got some places in George's County that's rural.
You wouldn't think so,
but outside of Montgomery County, there's some places that's rural.
Yeah, well, Montgomery County is huge. Yeah,
it is. But what I'm saying is, I had a Muslim friend. What he do is, we had a project. He bought some land in Pennsylvania, and what he did was he take the kids in the neighborhood out to that. I think he bought about 50, 60 acres of land. And he took out there and let them do gardening. Some of them had never been out of Baltimore. And he has some campsites there. You know, you could camp out, and then he has some cabins there too. And you'd be amazed at how those kids gravitated towards that area. Every year he had to turn down people that wanted to go out there. Once those kids were exposed, they enjoyed it. But unless you're exposed to something, Brother L.A., you just don't know the advantages and disadvantages of what living differently is all about.
Right.
I was just blessed to be able to be exposed to all sides. And that's what, you know, pretty much controlled my thinking. Because the less power that anybody have over me, the better off I am. That's the way I feel about it.
I agree. That, I mean, you look at the feet, well, like I said, if I don't want to be paying water bill rent. That's what I call it. So I don't want to, in one situation, I got one situation where I got to do that. But any new stuff, I don't deal with municipal services. At least when it comes to water.
Well,
and
you
in some
never
places,
get me back.
You're responsible for your own trash pickup.
Well, that's
I mean,
another
disposal
thing.
Is a great term.
That's right. That's another thing. I go to a garbage dump now that's in my area. It only costs me $1 a month to dispose of my garbage. That's how much it costs. Now, I could do this, but I choose not to. I could take the organic matter, put it in a compost pile, and the paper, I could burn it, but I don't choose to do that. I've gotten lazy in my old age. So with that being the case, you know, there's some things that, you know, I'm not going to ride on. Tell my wife that. All right. I'm sorry to hear about that. But the trick is, Brother L.A., I've gotten lazy in my old age. And there's some things that, you know, I'm just going to have now. Mm-hmm. But as far as living, the only thing I regret now is I'm just getting into solar panels. And with
well,
that being the case,
people are on a critical mass. When I got into solar about 2004 or 2005, somewhere around there, when I was over in Germany to be exact, and I thought solar over here would have caught on a lot more than it has. Because I attempted to, this before I started doing podcasts, I went on some radio stations, AM, and man, I tried to 4 or 5 times to introduce black folk, but they just wouldn't bite. So, Pleasant Stephens, I think I heard him on, Naima Show, podcast. So I invited him on here, and I had like 70 people, and that was the first time that I had a group of black folks that were interested in solar. And then one of the listeners that day asked, when would he be back, and I invited him on the very next day, and then I'm in touch with Pleasant. I talk to him almost every day. But, a lot of people are still, they heard the name, but, I mean, I'm in Florida, and only a handful of my neighbors have solar. I think one of the reasons for that is your typical solar installer does not know how to retail solar. The typical installer that I've run across in various states, they're used to dealing with a client that can write a check for $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 on the spot and have, you know, the system installed. And that's not a retail business model. A retail business model would be like, and this is why I like to study what they do in Africa and developing countries like India and Southeast Asia with solar. Because in rural areas there, they have solar. And they're watching their flat screen TVs. And they're not running no air conditioner or nothing. But, you know, they're charging their phones. They're watching flat screen TV stuff all night long with it. And they just have a different lifestyle. But the typical – here's retailing to me. Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, Ace Hardware Store, or any hardware store. But let's say the big ones. Lowe's, Home Depot, Menards. Anybody, regardless of their socioeconomic status, can go into those places and buy any number of items at a retail price. You can be on Section 8. You can be on WIC. You can have 20 children and be on food stamps. You can still go into Menards, Lowe's, or Home Depot, and there's got to be well over 200 items that you can buy with that level of income below the poverty line. Whereas with solar, the typical retailer, the typical contractor, he doesn't have anything that he can sell you at a retail price. And when I say retail price, based on what you find at Home Depot or Lowe's. And if you got to have, because a lot of times they're trying to sell the solar, well, you know, there are government programs for this and, you know, there all these. If you have something where you need a government subsidy, your product is overpriced. That's my take on it. And that's, in my opinion, that's why solar really hasn't hit its stride here in the United States. Matter of fact, not only North America, even in Germany where you have more of it, the populace there. And you've got some towns in Germany that are, I mean, they run totally off the grid. But those are the little small villages, the Berlins, the Munichs, the Frankfurt Germanys, London, England, and all those places. You'll see some solar, but the typical person, like I say, average homeowner, won't have it because the average solar contractor does not know how to retail solar anything. We'll probably cover that one day.
Well, look, you know, I was kicking it with you about that Durham situation, you know, a couple of shows back. But look, Brother L.A., Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, possibly the lower and western part of Virginia. Well, wherever the black belt is. Every black person in living in rural areas should be on solar. And I say this way. And, you know, I'm working with a guy on something, on a project. Look, Brother L.A., in the rural areas, and I keep harping on this, you got the HBCUs, you got the churches. And the thing is, you have people that have STEAM. They call it STEAM. Now, we used to call it STEMs, right? What is that? That's science, technology, engineering, architecture, and mathematics.
Right.
And the thing is, we know what our people's situation is, especially those ministers.
Mm-hmm.
They could go in and get that expertise where they could manufacture solar panels. They know that the majority of their congregation are living under the poverty line.
Right.
And what you, and look, most of them live.
And they call them
where,
every month, Beasley, some pastor is getting a call, Pastor, I can't pay my light bill. They
exactly.
all get calls like that every month.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, my thing is this here. The chief, in the Bible, the chief mission of a pastor, well, they call it pastor because they fashion that after a shepherd. A shepherd's supposed to take care of his sheep or her sheep, right? You're supposed to feed them, protect them, and whatever else that, that those sheep needs. That's why they call a guy that preaches and has a regular church a pastor or either a shepherd. And the thing is, with that in mind, the HBCUs, they're in all of those communities, and if those, and look, all of them are in a denomination, whether it's AME or MEZ or Baptist or what have you, and they have these conventions. They could go in, and I guess I listened to Brother Keaty with that Falcon Forum, you know, your boy, Pionk is up there sometimes. And he says, you know, you can reverse engineer something to find out how it's made and how it's operated and put it back together. And they could go in and ease the burden off their congregation and say, look, we're going to get a bunch of men together in our denominations here in our areas, and we're going to go in and show them how to put these solar panels, take them apart and put them back together again and install them. And we're going to go in out of your donations, and we're going to put our members' houses, we're going to equip them with solar panels based on what we do. Now, I'm going to give you this. This Billy Graham guy got a thing called Samaritan's Purse. They sent out a bunch of guys to go in and fix houses for people and all of that stuff that need it. Don't you think our denominations can do the same thing? And they're bigger than Billy Graham's program. And the thing is, they could help ease the burden of some of those people that are in their congregations. But, you know, when you don't have the vision, and I go back to what you and I have been talking about, if you don't know no better, you can't do better. But if you have the vision, there's ways that you could go in and help those people that are strapped and living below the poverty line that's in need of you going in and giving them a monthly payment when they're behind or their lights are getting cut off. You can stop all of that. If they had the vision or the knowledge to help people. But when you're self-centered.
Well, what about, all right, I agree with that, but all right, here's a hurdle. I experienced it once in Alzora that one of the Pleasants people experienced it. This was in D.C. There was a lady. She had a job, 9 to 5, but her Pepco cut her electric off. So I had a little demo kit for solar. And I said, well, I can come over to your house and do a demonstration. Won't cost you a dime. She agreed, then called me back the next day, canceled the appointment. Because now she's still in the dark now, but she was holding out for Catholic Charities to bail her out. Whether they did or not, I don't know. Alzora, when she was in New Jersey, because she moved to the Chicago area near Pleasant, same thing happened with her in New Jersey, but she got cussed out. At least I didn't get cussed out. So, and once again, this lady was waiting for Catholic Charities or some organization like that to bail her out. So how do we get past that type of person? Because there's a lot of those people out there. They won't even, because like say in my case, it was a free demo. She'd rather be in the dark with a job. She had a job, but she was waiting on Catholic Charities to bail her out.
Brother L.A., you read the Bible. What did Jesus say? If you go to a house and that house does not receive your message, you shake the dust off your sandals and you keep on to the next one. And the thing is, some people Jesus said, you're going to have the poor with you always. And the thing is, Brother Elliot, there's some people you just can't help. That's just like we've been talking about reparations and everything else. Some people you got to leave behind. When I was in the military, well, some people we had to leave behind for the sake of the group or the unit. And that's what you have to do. You can't save everybody, Brother L.A. Jesus couldn't save everybody. So you know damn well we can, or you can or I can't save every damn body.
That's what got him killed, probably trying to save too many people.
It was. You know, I mean, and look.
Moses saw the promised land, but he didn't get there because he was messing around with too many people.
And look, they almost killed Moses several times, but what I'm trying to say is this, Brother L.A. I can't speak for these other racial ethnic groups, but black folks have been so propagandized, I guess that's the right term, and fed so much bullshit until you're only going to get a small few. I mean, we have really been wrecked. Now, you talk about, you know, some people say, well, you know that post-traumatic slave syndrome. Hell, that shit's real. The shit that we think, not how we think. That stuff has been programmed into us so deep until, Brother L.A., it's not going to ever totally get out of you. Now, you went and you told a woman how she could get out of the dark. You were going to take your time to do it, and I guess you was going to do it for free out of the kindness of your heart.
Yeah, it would have been a free demo. Free demo.
Right. And
you know, because you got to bring awareness and you got to educate people. But she called the next day, canceled the appointment. In the dark, waiting on cafeteria.
Yeah, exactly. So, Brother L.A., the best you can do is a few. And then you're going to have a problem because, look, if anybody that has been totally reprogrammed is black folk. We came over here as Africans, and now we're imitation white folk. And whatever white folks says is good, is good. Whatever black folks says is good is bad. And whatever white folks say is bad, we say is bad. So you just got to leave them. You can't save us from ourselves because we have been totally brain dead, destroyed. We can't think on our own, most of us. And look, the best of us can't think on our own. And that's the problem. So I sympathize with you. I don't waste time, Brother L.A. The only time I waste on, you know, my time is on your show sometimes when I get in these conversations. But other than that, hey, I brush the dust off my sandals and I keep on walking, you know.
Man, well, I guess that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you were in a position to build that house to keep the peace in your family.
Well, you know what I told you, and what's the lady's name that we had that conversation with about Will Smith? What's her name? Live over there. What?
You talking about Deanna or Robin? Which one?
Robin.
Okay.
Brother L.A., the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I got tired of the nagging, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it wasn't going to be any peace in my home unless I gave that woman what she wanted. She wanted her house. I built that house. So with that being the case, I ain't had no more problems.
Well,
from then
now,
on out.
Where were you living before you built the house?
I was living on a piece of land that my father gave me.
Okay.
With a single-wide trailer. No, but here's the thing, Brother L.A., peer pressure. I bought that trailer used, and all of her girlfriends were getting brick houses.
Uh-oh.
And every time they come there, they put some stuff in her head. And the thing is, we get in these discussions over and over
say
and over.
No
again.
More.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I'm all for the single wide because, number one, you own it. You can buy them, even today in 2020, you can buy them and own it outright. No mortgage payment. Now, you pay maybe. Oh, and if it's on, you just pay those property taxes every year. In the case you're talking about. But other than that, you know, no mortgage payment, no rent payment. So I'm with you on that.
Well, the thing is this, Brother Elliot, I bought the trailer used. I paid for it cash.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And my father gave me an acre of land. And I said, well, look, instead of you, at the time I was messing up real bad. So he said, look, you got to get out of my house. But I got some land over here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it to you. I said, no, what I do is I'm going to buy it from you. He said, you can't buy it from me. That's what he said. You can't buy it from me. I'm going to give it to you. I said, no, I'm going to pay you a dollar. That
mm-hmm.
way it's in my name. And if I fuck up, excuse me, if I mess up,
then
there's nothing. He said, because I'm the owner of it. He said, well, give me a dollar, and I'm going to give you a deed. And, look, he put in the septic tank for me, got the well dug, and all of that. And all I had to do was move my clothes in because I paid for that trailer cash. But it was used. So whenever her girlfriends used to come around, you know, they used to kick it around. You know, my husband got me a brick house and all of this shit. And Beasley, you know your wife wants a home. She doesn't want a single-wide trailer. So I said, you know what? I'm getting tired of this shit. I said, you pick it out, and I'll build it. Because I had the money.
What those other women were talking about is they're sending their husband to the poorhouse.
Yeah, they had a mortgage.
Yeah,
they had a mortgage.
Exactly. They're sending him to an early grave.
Yeah, see, they were scuffling. They had a mortgage. I didn't have a mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
But see, my father was a jack of all trades. He built the houses, and you know, he went ahead on and look. At the time, he was a plumbing contractor, so I told him, I said, well, look, I need to get this house built, and I had to struggle with my old lady because see, black folks is like this. They just want enough. And that's it. They don't think about how it's supposed to look. She just wanted enough land to put the house on. And I told her, you know what? The land is the value of the house. If you put a big house on a small lot, like these subdivisions, I said, you know, a subdivision, there's plenty there, but you don't have any room. So I wouldn't let her. I didn't build that house on the land that my father has because that's still in my name.
Right.
I went and bought 2.5 acres, almost 3 acres, with her name on it and my name. That way, you know, hey, if it goes down, you know, you get 50-50, then, hey, look, you got some skin in the game, too.
Right.
And that's what happened. That's why I went and got the other piece of land. And I built that house from the ground up. And I told her, I said, look, you get what you want. No, you pick it out. I said, no, because if there's something you don't like, then I'm going to hear this shit again. So you pick it out, I'll build it, and whatever you want in it, that's what is going to go in there. And you pick out the furniture. The only thing picked out was the furniture in the family room. That's where I used to watch games and stuff at. Other than that, look, the first day that we moved in, she saw something that she didn't like. And I said, you know what? You picked this out. So if you want to bitch it in the damn body, excuse the expression, look in the mirror. So she didn't have anything else to say. But that's the only reason I built the house.
I know. Yeah, those girlfriends, they can put stress or distress on a relationship. Most can't.
Yeah, and I've never tried to keep up with the Joneses. But in this case, you know, I mean, you know, I was just getting married. And I just didn't want to put up with the crap. And now if she would do that, I'd get my papers. But at that time, I was young and dumb and in love and everything else. So, you know, I went ahead on and
done. Well, you did a smart thing. I think you did a very smart thing. You went, you got those 2 acres, I mean 3 acres, in addition to what you already had. And you you built it, you know, so. And I like the whole concept of, you know, people helping out and all that. But, those other ladies. And it still goes on today. You know, their husbands, you know, getting in all this debt. And, you know, some people can handle it. Some people clock out early because of all that debt.
Well, Brother L.A., I've been lucky. I've been able to raise the money that I needed. I've always found a way to raise the money that I needed, like that store that I told you about in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I raised that money. When I went in there, I didn't go in there in debt. I didn't borrow money to do it because, you know, I've always been able to figure out how to raise the money I need. So when I built that house, I didn't have to worry about a mortgage payment.
Right.
And the thing is, shucks, that was back in 95. So, you know, some of those people are still paying that mortgage payment. Some of her girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had that 30
year. A friend of mine, I said, you know, I even threw out there, she doesn't like the idea of tiny houses, and I don't know if I mentioned to her, I mentioned trailer too, but yeah, all I can do, that's all I can do, suggest it. That's about
Brother
it.
Brother L.A., you can only do what you know. And
mm-hmm.
the thing is, I've had to hit my old lady upside the head figuratively. Now, I haven't put my hands on her, but
right.
The best I could do to explain some things to her still didn't get through. Now, after I got it going, all of a sudden, yeah, we did the right thing. But trying to get her to understand and lay it out for her, she wasn't able to do that. That's just like that store in Maryland. I mean, at that time, it was a bad idea as far as she was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But the trick is, it didn't kick in until she started counting the money.
Right.
All of a sudden, we did it. But it was
mm-hmm.
it was nip and tuck all the damn way. Hey, look, you shouldn't have done this here. And you know we needed the money for something else and all of this garbage. But what I'm trying to tell you is once the money started getting counted, all of a sudden, hey, we done this. And that's the way it is with people. They can't see it.
This might sound sexist, but it, in my opinion, particularly westernized women, not all, but a critical mass of the typical westernized woman, they're not visionaries. Now, if you get something up and going, they might be good managers. But on a critical, this is just my opinion, on a critical mass basis, most westernized women are not visionaries. They can't see the invisible until manifested it. Then they can jump on board with it. But they're not architects.
No. And
they're
that's,
more like bricklayers.
Because,
they're not architects.
Yeah, because everything in our society is turnkey. Hey, look,
mm-hmm.
all you need
right.
is a down payment, and you're in it. They don't look
right.
at, hey, look, what it's going to cost, what I have to do to keep it, and is this the right thing for me to do
mm-hmm.
in my present situation? So everything is turnkey here. All you got to do is sign
right.
a piece of paper here, and you got it. And that has
right.
destroyed a lot of us because now all of those other racial ethnic groups in other countries, they're living close to nature. They have to build or either they have to figure out a way to do everything in order to maintain their lifestyle. Whereas here, you don't
mm-hmm.
have to do that. You can go to the grocery store and pick up some vegetables or your meats and all of this stuff. Most of those people are growing what they need or they're bartering or they're trading or whatever, what have you. They're at the basic level of life. So with that being the case, they understand how to do things from the ground up because they're on the ground.
Right.
Whereas here, you don't have to do that, you know. But, brother,
that's
I got the room.
Okay, well, thanks for the feedback and all that. You have a good weekend.
Yeah.
We'll bring
oh,
this
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You got a chance to look at that security force, didn't you?
You know what? I'm reading it again. Matter of fact, let me go to it right now because that was very interesting.
Yeah,
you
I want to
comment on that real
book.
Quick? Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. Take care. We'll cover that next week then.
Well, look, let me pick her up. I got to go, man.
Yeah, yeah, because we don't want
but
to
But you
get
didn't
trouble.
Get the movie, right?
I looked like part of it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Part of
well,
it.
I'll get back with you on
it. It needs my full attention. I'll get to it. I'll go through it all this weekend now.
All right. Take care, guy.
Okay. All right. All right, folks. We're sort of like doing open mic now. We started talking about water bill solutions, and we'll cover that again. But the question of the day is, when it comes to water, and you don't have to answer, but, you know, are you a buyer or are you a seller when it comes to water? In any event, we'll take the next call right after this.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there and looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build those shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out. Took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them. And there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big. Because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their hands.
And there's a trend going on globally where you do have people that are they're getting back into making things. I would even say there's a banker's revolt going on right now. In the tiny house movement, because most people who go tiny, I don't know what the exact percentages is, but the ones that I've personally met that have gone tiny or live in tiny houses, I would say 90-95% of the people who go tiny they build the house themselves. You know, and most of them didn't have any carpentry skills prior to building that first house. But YouTube's got not only tiny house videos, but the common denominator with the tiny house videos, the people that are living in vans, including families living in vans, people living out of their cars, people that have converted box cars, people who have converted U-Hauls, people that have converted school buses, all in the homes. The common denominator is none of these people want a 30-year mortgage. They don't want a, they don't even want a one-day mortgage. So Beasley is absolutely right. More and more people are going back to, that's why I played the Nellie Fuller piece. You can leave out the white supremacist part. But that's where the ball is going, and it's, that's where it already is for many people. We're going back to our next phone call, and hold it, wait a minute. Within the next 4 minutes, go get yourself, if you need to go to hit the head, get a drink of water, go out and get the mail out of the mailbox or wherever it might be. Let the dog out real quick. Do it within the next 4 minutes, and then we'll come back for our next phone call. One of the topics that we're going to have in here soon, we'll probably organize a panel, is, well, you don't need a panel for this one. This will be a man thing. But I am noticing, I don't know if it's a trend yet, but that house building is particularly for men. I think it's a necessary, it's an essential, fundamental life skill that the younger you learn how to do it, because it does, if you're in good health, you can learn at any age. But like I say, it's a ton of videos on there, because you got a lot of women. You have a lot of women that are building their own places from scratch. Matter of fact, one of the audios we played today, I just played a snippet of it, Vera Strzok. I met Vera, I don't know, about 6 years ago when I went to one of those tiny house camps, summer camps up in Vermont. She was there. And I saw her tiny house on wheels and everything, but and she was 65. Well, hold it. She started building that when she was 64. Let's see. I don't know, 63. 62 or 63, somewhere around there, because she was 65 at the time of that audio I played today. But she was, I went to that event 2 years in a row up in Vermont. It was right near the Canadian border. So you got women doing it, you know, families doing it, as well as men. So it's a pretty interesting demographic. Anyway, 314 area code, your mic is open.
LA, how are you coming along with your Saturday house building class?
I'm working with,
how many houses y'all done built?
Oh, nothing right now. We're still in the planning phases. I'm not doing anything that you would know. We're doing it totally off-grid. No sewage lines, no utility companies. Not a tree will be cut down. We're just dealing with the empty spaces that we already have.
How you coming along with the tomato seeds?
Oh, those aren't even planted. The tomatoes, the water, everything that Beza gave, those four packages of seeds, we're not quite ready for that yet, because I got to get somebody who is a green thumb on that.
I mean, a pack of tomato seeds only got about 25 seeds in it.
Oh, well, we got that watermelon, honeydew, and okra. The main thing we're concentrating on right now with is four people, but we're not all in the same place. We're doing cabins. So what we're working on right now, what I'm working on, are the floors. That's the thing we're working on right now. Then
we'll
roll that out with webinars and all that.
And y'all going to have the first demonstration house so that
it'll be before May
24th.
It'll be before May 24th. That's all I can say.
You're going to have the first house built before May the 24th.
Yeah. Fourth.
That's 3 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm. It'll be built by then.
All right. Well, we're going to see.
We'll probably update
people
on the other stuff by then.
I listen to people talk about what they're going to do, make all these suggestions and ideas, and they wait for somebody else to come along and do it.
Well, I move a little bit slower because I try not to have partners. There's some things you got to have partners for. But there's something like, for instance, like the land, I've had it for about six, maybe 7 years. I pay, got into it by myself, signed the contract by myself, paid the taxes by myself. Now, when I attempted to go in, matter of fact, I solicited partners for another piece of land in another out of state. I'll just put it that way. I'm not going to name the state.
Well, you know,
and
you guys.
I had everything tied up. I had money into the deal, but
yeah, planes flying above can see little tiny houses below. You can't be. It ain't gonna be. No secret society, I guess.
But when you're getting into transactions with people, partnerships with people, you don't know what's going to happen when you get into it. But a lot of times, things go left just like it went with me. I had a deal in escrow. Contract signed, and I had a potential partner that said yes until it came time, and they didn't need much money to get in on it.
You're talking about a partner and people.
Why I'd just rather go solo, unless it's a situation.
Yeah, I hear
where,
that.
Yeah.
But that ain't what people be saying when they be describing stuff. Like you got Neely Fuller talking about black people. Well, that ain't all black people. The reason why come they don't, because they don't want to. And then, like, your friend that left to go pick his wife up, my wife didn't never have to wait for me to pick up. I bought a car. But anyway, talking about what black people don't know. Them Africans didn't know nothing about this stuff when they came over here. If they did, it was so good at the people over there when they got rid of them. I don't understand what kind of people keep talking about that, talking about African slaves built America. They didn't build where they came from. But if they did, show me where. If it was built good and strong, it wouldn't be gone.
Well, hold on. Let's take something like farming. And I'm not saying farming is the same all over the world because it isn't. Basic agriculture, you don't think they knew anything about that when they came over?
Yeah, everybody. You can take cavemen knew about planting food. They watch squirrels do it.
Now, you can learn a lot by watching nature. You can't.
Watch squirrels with you. You're talking about, I hear you guys talking about solar. Solar is not practical all over the world. You got certain regions of the earth based on the orientation of the sun. You made mention of Germany. If you look at the UV index of Germany, it's probably in single digits. Don't even get above 10. The highest is in Africa, which is about in the 40s. Around the equatorial zone. In the United States, you may get into the up around the north, Michigan, Wisconsin, up around New York, and that's you in the 20s. They don't get much solar. Some people are not going to come off of the thing. That's why Mother Nature gave the earth what it has. To use.
Well, sunlight's one of those. I mean, if we look at modern electricity as we know it today, okay, that really hasn't been around that long. Man basically is done without electricity. You know, and since it's been around, you know, and it hasn't been around that long, but a lot of people don't know how to function without it.
Well, yeah, you're right. When they drill the hole, they use a screw drill.
Yeah, a drill.
Try drilling a hole through steel with a screw drill.
I mean, no question that electricity is a plus, you know, but it's, you know, man-made great. I mean, hey, their pyramids were built without electricity.
Yeah, you know? The pyramids was nothing but stone. But here's the thing, and there are certain people that have done this. Black Americans didn't build no damn pyramids. Wherever they build something like that in modern times where you got electrical Black and Decker power tubes,
mm-hmm.
You got steel chainsaws. But the thing is that people don't do things because they don't want to. And the acronym STEM, they'll have no agriculture aspects in it whatsoever. So people just be talking. And if you want some land, Africans got all the land. You can go over to Africa and have all the land you want. The Fianca Project provided 35,000 hectares.
Well,
over
most,
Liberia.
In my opinion, most people, 75-80% of the population, as you know, in this country, live on the grid. So people that live in New York, Chicago, L.A., Miami, San Francisco, all those places, they're just happy with their little allotted space, and they like the comfort and conveniences, you know, of walking to the 7-Eleven or a short drive to Home Depot or going to the shopping mall or whatever. They're happy with that. So, I mean, there's no one size that fits all anyway.
Well, you know what? I don't blame them. I would, too. You get to living like that, you ain't going to like it either. See, people ain't going to go backwards. Folks ain't going to go back to rubbing sticks together. Folks ain't going to go back to rubbing sticks together to make a fire.
They might not go back that far.
Well, they're not
going
to go back to doing no garden either when they can go to Walmart and buy all the produce that they want.
All right. On a critical mass basis, I agree with you. But then there are people like me where as I got exposed to certain cultures and certain lifestyles or whatever, I give an example. I don't drive a car. But I had two cars here, sold those. And a third one I had got rid of that one in D.C. Because it came, here's how it came to that. I've been in 13 countries. That's not a whole lot of countries. But I've never needed to have a drive a car, but I got to 13 countries and within those countries, all without me driving an inch. So I came back from Europe, and then the car that I was driving, this is when I was in D.C., it needed to go to the shop, and I said, you know what, for the last 3 months, I've been walking to the grocery store, I've been cycling to the grocery store. That's what I do 6 months out of the year. So I decided I went to the Chinese, you know, and before I knew it, 2 or 3 years later, I don't even need a driver's license. What for?
Well, let me ask, are you married?
I'm single now.
Do you have
but
any kids?
If I
that
do get
leaving?
Married again, I'm glad you asked that question. I can tell you right now, I'm not equipped or built, nor do I have the desire to marry the typical westernized woman. I know that.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't going to marry no woman over there in Africa neither, because they want cars to go to – they need transportation to get where they want to unless they're going to walk.
I know where I can find an abundant – I already know them. I don't have to find them. Where there's an abundance of minimalist women. The type of women that I'm attracted to now are minimalist women.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, but you just one person. And you guys are talking about.
Yeah, I'm just one person.
Ain't nothing wrong with
it. You know, exactly. I can't date 1,000 women.
Just like I said before, when the Fianca Project over in the Ghana, the Fianca Stu made available 35,000 hectares. In that length of time, which has been about 30 years, they took it back. Black Americans only built 5 houses, and one's half done. Ain't nobody going to go live like that. People don't go backwards. people move forward.
Now, the way
they
I look at
look
it
at the
is,
NBA basketball. They're going to want to look at the NFL
football.
Now,
here's what I'm looking at. Now, here's how I define it. Now, how I define it. If you got to go get a 30-year mortgage, or if you got to go get a 30-year mortgage to put a roof over your head, that's going backwards.
Well, you got to do it for a car.
Getting the skills.
How long you think they're financing these vehicles that people are driving today?
What, they were 5 to 7 years?
They're not financing those vehicles.
My whole thing is,
you got to
buy a car,
years.
And some people do need cars. Okay. My whole thing is, matter of fact, I'll give you a good example. I knew a guy right outside of D.C. in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Guy had a bike shop. I met him in an electrical vehicle club that I was a member of up in that neck of the woods. So there was a family that came in, just happened to be white, young white yuppie couple with children. They had just sold their van, and they bought in for him to retrofit a bike for the wife, the kid, and the, you know, extra seats. It was one of these long bikes, so it'll be an electric bike. So,
yeah, but a car
once again,
can't travel around the black. How are they going to carry their tubes?
Hey, look, all I know is they did. Now, how long that's going to last them, I don't know. It's just like one of
the
audios I played on here. What, everybody is not going to go minimalist. We know this.
No, they're not.
Everybody's not
going
to
do that. You couldn't make a business at that. That's why come there's no business at that, because there's the market is not there.
Well, the bike shop guy's doing well with his EVs, and you got quite a few people. Well, like I say, you have some people making a living building in tiny houses. There's a minimalist market out there. There's a minimalist market out there. But
down
no,
here
are the majority
Louisiana
of people, are the majority
here.
Of Americans, of for instance, you mentioned Africa. If I was interested in Africa's got plenty of attractive women, I'm gonna tell you three places right off the four places right off the bat where I wouldn't go hunting for a woman to date: Nairobi, Johannesburg, Abuja, and Lagos, because the African women that you're going to meet there, the native-born African women that you're going to meet there, are Westernized women.
Yeah,
Philippines,
but what's wrong with wait a minute. What's wrong with Western civilization? That's where your medicine is. That's where your science is. That's where your technology is.
Westernized people.
That's where your longevity and lifespan is.
Westernized people, to the most part, are heavy consumers. Not all, but most. Pianca, you know you built your own house. And your wife is from Africa.
I built my own house because it was a hobby for me.
Okay. Well, we're not trying to change the world now. I'm just saying that the way I define moving forward is, okay, stop depending on others as much. And see, you're not going to be able to do everything yourself. Nobody
can.
You
can't do this. You got to
have. Nobody can do that.
See, you have specializations today. When you
exactly.
see those tall office buildings that's put up, there's no such thing as a general contractor that has a crew that do it all. Those were specialized
craft.
I was a specialized craft. I erected structural steel. I didn't do no carpentry work. I didn't do no electrical, heating, air conditioning, ventilation work. I didn't do any plumbing. Those are specialized people.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, for the specialized skills that you have, Pianchi, even your grandson who I spoke to him once, the typical person is not going to follow that career path. The typical person, all they want is a job. That's it. They don't care what it is. And
well,
when it comes to taking the time,
look at the trash on the street.
When it comes to the time that you took to learn those specialized skills that you had in your craft, the typical person, they don't have the patience for that. They don't have it. But we know that. Hold on. 407 area code, your mic is open.
Oh, my goodness, I'm enjoying this conversation. Why'd you open my mic?
Well, we need a woman's point of view.
Okay, this is Yada. First of all, on the tomatoes, I was going to let you know, I bought like 4 tomato plants. Forget the seeds. That takes too long. And I have so many tomatoes, I don't know what to do with them. So I'm advising you, don't do any seed. And in Florida, it's so hot, it's already starting to get hot. You got the main thing for me, I'm new at gardening, is you got to water these things. You got to have a way to keep the water flowing. And I got so many tomatoes, I didn't
wait a minute. Back up, Yada. When you bought, you said you didn't start with the seed. What did you do? You bought the plant?
No. I bought them at a nursery. I was going
there. Oh, you
went
to a nursery. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to pick up some plants for a friend. And I said, well, what do you have in this? And they were so cheap. I was like, well, $2 for a plant. You know, I figured that's better than me trying to get a seed going. So I'm just suggesting if you're going to start a garden, and depending on the location, you might just buy the plant because you got to get the seeds sprouting, and then you got to buy the dirt to put it in the ground. And I got these 4 tomato plants are huge now. And they're small tomatoes, but there's enough to put in a salad every day right now. And then I've got a avocado plant that someone gave me, and I have to watch the watering it, and I fertilized it. And so anyway, gardening mainly is maintenance. And then,
you think you could work a 8-hour job and then come home and do that gardening?
Yeah, oh sure. Yeah, because I love it.
How long would it take you?
It takes like less than 5 minutes to water them, and then I have to pull weeds around it.
No, you
got to
get some plants.
That's a passion. You got to love the gardening. It's not something you got to be, I hate to have to go to the garden again.
And Viarda's not the average one.
My neighbor had in his backyard, I guess 50 foot, probably was about 40 foot wide, in about, say, 40 feet deep. He used to have to till that. He'd get out there and plant it. He'd spend about 4 or 5 hours a day out there in his garden. He did now, of course.
Yeah, well, I got about 2 feet.
No way in the world he was going to work an 8-hour job, come home, and work in that garden.
Well, 40 feet is not a garden. That's almost a plantation. 40 feet, that's huge for a garden. I mean, my garden.
Well, you had to have enough to feed, to eat off of.
There's only me and my grandchildren. They barely like to eat anything out of the garden. They're junk food kids right now. So it depends on, like I said, who are you feeding and where do you live? You got to look at all those factors before you even start this project. Yeah, how many people you gonna have to feed? What's the weather like? Is it hot all of the year? You don't have to have water source. So it's a planning process first of all.
Well, the water was water hose.
Yeah,
house
all of that. You got to look into that. I have a hose that I just turn on and water them, and then I'm done. And then I'm eating tomatoes every day, and I'm trying to grow limes, but the lime tree's not doing too well. So that's really new for me. But anyway,
that's more
it's
of
fun.
A long-term project because you're talking about a tree when it comes to limes.
Yeah, it is. I love limes, though, and I need to have a lime tree. I might have to buy a bigger lime tree. So you can go bigger on the plant. My point was forget the seeds and just do the plants and start there.
You got in the city. I remember in St. Louis, they had organizations, maybe many, several, that would go around and build gardens on lots in the hood.
Yeah.
You go by those places, now they all weeded over.
Yeah,
those people did not want to be out there gardening, and they all abandoned.
Yeah, you got to.
They are abandoned.
Somebody has to be dedicated to it, but that's how we got fed in the old days. But now, you got grocery store, and then what if stuff runs out of the grocery store? You're going to have to go back to the garden, so it's your choice. Anyway, that's all I wanted to share is that gardening, you can, there's different options and opportunities. And I want to say something about tiny houses. You know, I lived in one for 5 years. That was my choice. And then I had an opportunity. When it comes to going minimalist, tiny, whatever, we can look for opportunities to do that that make it easier. It doesn't have to be difficult, challenging. It just has to be an opportunity that you're interested in, and then you can take advantage of it and go from there. This shed that I'm in now was an opportunity that was sitting in my son's backyard for 20 years, a shed, empty shed. And I had opportunity to be closer to my grandchildren, so I worked on renovating it. So I'm like 90% done. Grandchildren want to even stay in my tiny house now because they love the atmosphere and all. So there's so many advantages beyond just being, you know, caught in the modern-day society, not going backwards, as Tianqi likes to say. I don't know what that means, really, but I understand where you're coming from.
I built
from.
My daughter a treehouse. It had everything in it. You know what she slept at night? She came in the house.
Well, that's her
well,
now.
Maybe, well, that's
just
one person.
Because you got people that are, what's it, the weekend? You got people that are paying God knows how much money to sleep in the God knows how many treehouses on Airbnb. All depends on the person.
Yeah.
I got a friend of mine in Atlanta that's taking about 4 lots, and he's building a giant Airbnb. I don't know how much it's going to cost him. He's right about 10 minutes from the ballpark or something like that, because they're going to have conventions, and he's building for those conventions. But they're going to have electricity and all the things and amenities that go with the weather land I have to offer.
You
so like you say, if people are going to do that, they're going to do it, but hardly any if many is going to do that. People are not going back, but they're going forward.
Tiny house Airbnbs are becoming more and more popular. I was surprised to meet people and hear from people who actually stayed in tiny house Airbnbs. I didn't know there was such a thing. But they're becoming more popular. So
there's a bunch
don't
of
rule that out.
Well, the reason why I think tiny houses are going forward, the way I see it, they're going forward because the common denominator with people who build these tiny houses, including Viola, who's renovating a shed, is because they do not want a mortgage. And
how long have you been renovating
without
your
a mortgage? Is a, that's going forward.
How long has Viola been renovating her your shed?
It took 3 months to get 90% of it done, and that's because it had no plumbing and no bathroom, no kitchen. So that was the major part of it, is to just to get the kitchen and bathroom in. The rest of it was mostly me painting and then furnishing it. And I had rug. My son was doing a laminate floor in his house at the time. He had extra flooring left over, so I had just enough to put in the shed. So everything was just working out perfectly as far as material. My major expense was the plumbing and the kitchen and the bathroom. That was the major expense. And that's very tiny. Most people would not want to be thinking it would, but it's a kitchen and a bathroom for me. So that was
why
much.
You need to have plumbing. I thought you have a bucket. You go out there and get on that pump and pump water.
You know what, Pianke? I wanted that, but the plumber that I knew, he's a good friend. I've known him forever. He had no idea what I was talking about. He was like battling with me. Oh, compost toilet, you can't do that, blah, blah. I had this, oh, my goodness, why do I have to be arguing with this person? He just had no clue, and I was ready to get this project going and finished because I wanted to get out of my son's house. So I just had to go along with a conventional toilet and kitchen. It's okay. It's a minor thing. I wanted a compost toilet, but he didn't know how to
you can use one of them compost toilets that you can go dump the thing out every so often, too. Throw some dirt in there after you use it.
Exactly. You put it in your compost in your garden. In fact, I'm on my way now to a meetup.
Now, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to eat no vegetables that's been fertilized with human waste. That there is dangerous.
That's foolishness, Pianke. You're not eating
the dirt. Yes, it is dangerous. That there is dangerous.
The food is grown. The food is grown in the dirt. Not the leaves and the fruit don't come from the dirt. They're not. You're not tasting the dirt. That's why you rinse food off. What do you think cow manure is? People use cow manure.
Animals and human beings are two different things.
Yeah, well, it depends on who's human.
Well, poop.
Human beings ain't eating. Matter of fact, human beings ain't eating grass. They eating animals. Animals are eating grass.
That you might have a point there. I'm not eating meat, so it would be just my poop going in there, okay? So I'm not worried about that if I were doing that, but I'm not. But I wouldn't be that concerned about it. The people who I know who do compost are mostly vegetarians. So you might have a point there. I don't know. But you don't eat the dirt. In fact, when you use compost from a compost toilet, you mix that with sawdust, and then you put that in the ground, and you mix it with the soil. And by the time the worms and all the other things, that the leaves and all that decompose it, you ain't got nothing much left that would be toxic. I don't know what kind of gardening you're talking about.
Man,
but
nature takes care of all. I mean, look at the water we drink. The water that we drink is millions of, if not billions of years old. You know, one way to look at it is recycled urine, part of it. So there's
the most people, they drink bottled water.
Filters all that stuff.
Yeah,
most people today drink bottled water.
It's all about frequency anyway. Whatever you have in your life, depending on the frequency it's been around, that's what's going to kill you, not the manure.
Well, both her tiny house projects, she had zero mortgage. See, that's what I call a step forward. Because when you were married,
did
you guys have a mortgage on your house when you were married?
Who, me?
Yeah, when you were married, did you guys have a mortgage when you were in California?
Beginning, yeah, but my ex paid it off eventually, and then we got a divorce. So that's the way life goes.
All right. No, well, you don't have any mortgages now, so. See, I call that going forward. I looked at her, what she's been doing with the tiny stuff. She's going forward.
Well,
she's on her second venture.
If the parents plan right, they kids wouldn't have to use. They could pay for the house in cash. That's just a matter of planning. If you can, if you can't, you got to go the other way. That's why they make those convenient.
And the majority of people don't plan it that way.
Yeah, because
but you can't make them plan it that way.
Yeah, well, adult children at some point start making their own decisions, and parents don't have to always intervene and try and help them and do this and that. They got to run their own life, and we just stand by. If they need our help, we'll be there for them. But I'm not controlling anything anymore with the people, the men I birthed out of my womb. They making their own decisions, living their own life. And I sit back and watch and send love and energy to them. But adult children on their own at 17, 18 years old. So, you're right. If we haven't planned there to help them up until that time when they decide they want to be independent, well, have a good life. I'll be here praying for you. Take care, and we'll see you later. That's how it rolls.
Man, a lot of people don't know anything about estate planning either.
Right. Right, all that should be done in high school. That's
but what I'm saying is this: that solar energy is not as all that they sell it to be. It's more complicated. Then look at the strain you're putting on the sun.
Well,
oh, come on! There's nothing we humans can do.
Because let me ask you something: you seen these vicinity charges for phones? You don't have to touch them; you just be in the vicinity. That's putting a strain, you're putting a draw on the power supply. Same thing happened with the sun.
Well, come on, us human beings can't do nothing. We are no match for Mother Nature. No match.
That's why Mother Nature gave you a endless supply of natural gas, endless supply of oil, endless supply of water if you know how to recondition it and desalinate it. It's all here.
What do you think about electric cars, Pianki?
They're not new. People have built electric cars for a long time, but I wouldn't have one.
Oh, okay. You don't want one. Okay.
I'm pro electric car.
Well, the only
no, I wouldn't have. See, my construction equipment could not run off electricity.
Right.
No, the technology is not there yet. Well, Deanna, did you ride in that Tesla?
No, I didn't. No, but I was going to say the dark side of electric cars is the cobalt, the minerals or the product that goes into them in Africa. They have children digging for cobalt, which is creating a conflict in human trafficking, whatever. That's the dark side of electric cars, the cobalt that has to be used to make them. And they're now in Africa, where it's the richest resource, they have to use children to work to manufacture it. So
if you live in the northern regions and you have cold weather, you have snow, you're going to be stranded in those vehicles.
Well, yeah, that's why there's risk to everything.
Well,
people have to take
the risk. That was
the
case with the Model T at first, but now Ford produces four-wheel drive.
Yeah,
so,
and we got
man,
brain.
That's why we have engineers.
You're
going
to be stranded in those vehicles because an automobile engine, you can use that to heat the vehicle. But you start using your battery-powered vehicle to heat the vehicle, now you start to expedite the running out. And those battery packs cost as much as a car. Some of those battery packs for a pickup truck cost upwards of $15,000 to $20,000. That's
well,
a drawback,
you know,
with solar energy. Those deep cycle batteries, those deep cycle batteries are very expensive. They only last a while.
I had to replace my Prius battery for about almost $3,000, but I don't pay. Right now, 45 miles to a gallon, that's pretty good for me. I don't drive a lot, so it's worth the cost, the investment in a battery for a hybrid in my case, because now I don't have to pay as much as most people are paying to fill their tanks up. I mean, I paid $35 lately, and I used to pay about $25 to fill up my tank. Now I'm up to like $30 because of these prices, but that's the issue, day-to-day expenses, you know, that you need to, things you need to do. Well, how much is it costing us now, thanks to President Brandon? So whatever, we let go of stuff. That's why minimalism is a good idea. Times like this, you got to make choices. What are you going to pay for, your insurance or your mortgage?
Well, Brandon
and
them is going to tax your electric vehicle because they're not getting that tax in selling the gasoline.
Well, they got all kind of plans, but yeah, that's why you got to make adjustments these days that'll save you money and do what you can to survive all this madness. Anyway, I got to run, though. I'm going to camp.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. It's 12:47. We're over time anyway. Thank you all
for
calling.
Thanks, guys,
for the
conversation.
Have a good weekend.